Welcome to the Rundown here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. It used to be a really cool name, the Monday Rundown, but then they switched everything to Tuesdays. But that's okay because we're still here, courtesy of our friends at Heartland Flags, Heartland Flag Poles. I got this sweet flagpole last year. I bought it before RVTV. It's a mobile flagpole that I now take with me to like NASCAR races, whenever my wife does like the big tailgates. Of course, I can't be there because I'm working, but they, you bring it and you drive your truck over it and then it just goes straight out. It's awesome. You can fly your flags from Heartland Flags. Get yourself, their Des Moines location. Get yourself a fresh Iowa State flag leading up to Saturday's showdown with number 6 West Virginia. Hello, Rob Gray.
Hello. Maybe a black Iowa State flag.
So they're going to wear the black unis, we think.
That's, well, Jared, our pal Jared Stansbury.
Our esteemed Jared Stansbury.
Our non-grizzled veteran, but a veteran nonetheless, posed the question in a kind of a jocular
Campbell
way.
Campbell kind of just danced around it.
Yeah, he said, oh, it's a really good question, and then he said that's up to Skip or something like that. So it's that's a stay tuned situation. Willie Harvey was asked whether he'd like to unveil them this week, and he said yes, but that's up to the coaches.
Well, those guys want to wear black every week.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So that there's no tip-off. There's no tip-off there. Do you have a feeling?
Well, I mean, I do feel like when you're going to break them out, you want to do it after a win. You don't want to break out the black uniforms against Kansas State at an 11 a.m. kick if you're playing for your fifth win.
Yep.
I feel like you've got a little bit of swag to you right now. Mm-hmm. West Virginia is a top 10 team. There's a ton of eyeballs going to be on you. You get this flashy young quarterback. I feel like this is a really good week to play the black uniforms.
I agree. I think it's a perfect time. Now, I do look at the schedule. Let's say they play it a little bit conservatively. They don't do it. Then you've got the bye week, and you come back. You know, you've evened your record in the league.
I mean, you're at this point assuming they beat the top 10 Mountaineers.
Well, I'm only saying conservative in the deployment of the uniforms, because then you're like, okay, we got some time. There's a build up to this game, even though it's Tech versus number 6 West Virginia. I agree. You do it now.
I kind of feel like you don't want to do the black uniforms like in snow.
Yeah. You don't want to run that risk, do you?
And I mean, the rest of these games, Baylor, Kansas State, and I mean, I don't
this
feel
is
like
the time to do it.
Or do you wait for Incarnate Word on December 1st to roll out the black uniforms?
I'd say if there were odds on whether they're going to wear the black uniform, unveil them this week versus another week, I'd go with this week.
What did you think of Matt Campbell's press conference today, other than the just pretty general Matt Campbell press conference stuff? I don't usually get much out of his press conferences anymore. I did today. I thought there were a couple of interesting nuggets, specifically the conversation about Iowa State's defense and how his goal now is to have two players at every position. And he basically said that the closer we can get to 50-50 on snaps, the better defense we will be, specifically at that middle linebacker spot between Orion Vance and Mike Rose. That was interesting to me.
Very interesting. And he's talked about it ad nauseum, for good reason, because it's a bedrock for him that you have to have that depth. You have to have it everywhere, but especially on defense. And it's shown with their ability to be multiple, as you've written about, he's talked about, they've shown on the field. We saw it, you know, the way they were able to roll the dice and really play at top speed. And that was as fast an Iowa State defense I think I've seen.
Yeah.
And they were really good last year.
This is as good as the D has played, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Even going back to last year, I think that I would take this defense in its current form over anything we saw last year.
Yeah, by a smidge, probably. And I think people will look at it and go, oh, they scored 42 points. Oklahoma State did. But again, this is taking what not only the defense, but the offense gives you. Your offense is out there scoring. Your offense is out there doing things. That allows you to dial up pressure more frequently.
Yeah.
Blitz with Peavy for the strip sack. Your corner blitz, you had Harvey blitz, you know, the linebacker blitz happening all the time. So they stayed in front of it the whole time. Once they got up 9-7, never trailed again. It was sweating bullets, I'm sure, for lots of fans because it kept getting close.
And yeah.
The weird stuff, the weird non-targeting, you know, all the drama that accompanies any game. But that was still a really good defensive performance, I'd say.
Well, they, you know, the analytics are what makes it look good, and the yards per play, all that stuff. I mean, tackles for a loss.
Yep.
It was an impressive game, I thought, all the way around for Iowa State. What do you? I'm more interested right now. I mean, I feel like our fans and our listeners have heard all they need to hear about the Oklahoma State game. I'm really looking ahead to Saturday. They need to sell this place out.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any buzz of that or it getting close, but man, I feel like this is just an opportunity for, we talked about the black uniforms, but Iowa State's fans are great. I mean, loyal. They've supported bad teams. We know all about all that stuff. I think this is an opportunity to go above and beyond and sell out a game that is a really big one for the program.
Well, yeah, I agree. And it's been tough to sell out a lot of games that don't involve Iowa and you and I.
That's the thing, yeah.
So, yeah, if you can just get that. I mean, great crowds they've had still, but just if you could – just the talking point of that, you know, on FS1 or it's on FS1, right?
Yeah. Tim Brando is going to be in town.
Oh, good old Tim. It's always good to have him back in town.
Yeah.
You know, that is a talking point. He's sold out, you know, and then you factor in maybe you've got the
black uniforms.
You've got this team that is a lot of fun to watch. It's sitting at 2-3 and 1-2 in the league, but everyone knows even before the Cyclones played Oklahoma State during the West Virginia Kansas game, the announcers of that game were saying that's going to be no gimme next week in West Virginia, and Will Greer is going to be a blah blah. All this stuff, that's going to be a really tough game for them. I mean, is it doable? Yeah, you know, and all that. I mean, that's the reputation you've got when you're sitting at 1-3 and 0-2 at that time. People recognize the talent and the skill level and the change in this program. So, get out and support it. I mean, maybe I don't know if they could pull out any additional stops, really. It would be nice if the weather was going to be good, and it doesn't look like it will be, but maybe.
What does the weather look like?
Maybe we'll get a break in the rain. I think it's going to be reasonably cold, but then again, we're already in October. It's not like
it's October,
you get a 48, 55 degree day. I mean, that's not bad at all.
Do you think Iowa State will win?
I actually do.
It's really early in the week, and I'm not going to give a prediction yet.
When the gut is there, like last week, the gut told me they're gonna go and win.
I kind of thought they would.
In Stillwater for the first time since 2000.
You went on the record with that too, right?
Yeah. I did. Now, never in my wildest imaginings would I have thought they'd score 48 points to do it.
Brock Purdy, man. You didn't know about Brock Purdy.
Exactly. Well, I knew about him, but getting into that game. As an aside, you acknowledged it, but the class of Zeb Noland on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool.
I mean, this is a room of really good guys that really support each other, and that's what you need. But, my gut says that because, again, we can go over all the stats of haven't lost by more than 10 points in, a year and a half. They're always right there, and that's because they're pretty much as talented as every team they play, which is stunning to say.
But it's true.
Even in some of the so quote-unquote good years, meaning a bowl season, there were games, again, you pointed at and said, well, no way, no way, no way. And then, okay, got to get this one, it'll be this. There are no-way games anymore.
There's no games on here that – okay, so you're going to be a dog against West Virginia. We know that.
Yep.
But after that, your favorite over Texas Tech – your favorite over Kansas.
Yeah.
Your favorite over Baylor. You're going to be an underdog at Texas.
Yep.
But your favorite over Kansas State and your favorite at Carnot Word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, I mean, Vegas has them at 7-5, and that's just going chalk.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not, I mean, if they could pull off a win on Saturday, it just changes everything.
Mr. October. Get to six straight.
Matt Campbell, 5-0 in October in the last 2 years. For Iowa State, this game sets up a lot like the TCU game did a year ago. I know it's not identical, but you know. So what that game was? They beat Oklahoma, then they went on the road and won at Texas Tech, and then they came home and beat TCU. But the momentum wise, you just get a feel for it. It could push the program to new heights, much like the TCU game did a year ago. I get that feeling.
Yeah, I do. I do too. I mean, it's weird how eerily similar some of the things are. I mean, that win at Oklahoma State felt so big. Now, it didn't feel obviously as big as a win at Oklahoma. You haven't beaten since, you know, you've beaten, what, five times in program history or whatever it is, five or six. But at the same time, given where they were sitting, I mean, there's times where you're 1-3, you can press too hard, you can get too hyped, and instead they just came out and played really good football generally. You know, save a handful of plays, it's going to happen every game. So it just sets up for being that type of game that if you're a Cyclone fan and you're on the fence, you'd want to be there. You'd want to be there to see what, you know, they can get that. Because again, as you said, I mean, it sets up for possibly a really nice stretch.
Sure does. I'm looking forward to it. The men's basketball media day is on Thursday. I'm not in basketball mode yet, but I'm starting to get there. I hung out with Coach Finley for a while yesterday. Highly recommend people listening to that podcast I did with him. It's not really about basketball. We're going off on like coaching philosophies and like leadership skills, and it's Finley's fantastic.
Agreed.
So check that out. And then the men's basketball media day. And I wanted to announce this, our basketball tip-off party at Whiskey River. We just got that confirmed with the special guests. It will be on October 25th of this month at Whiskey River, and that will be same special guests as always. That's a Thursday night, so we'll have a radio show there, and we'll do that just like we did a year ago. We had a really good crowd a year ago. It'll be a lot of fun.
It's a fantastic crowd. Great time.
Yeah. Other than that, the Hilton Madness is coming up on Friday night. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else. It's just getting to be that busy time of year. Wrestling Media Day.
It's
coming up.
Got to be around the corner, yeah.
How's wrestling going to do this year? You follow that more than I do.
I think it's still a year away from being...
A year away? They'll be better than last year, right?
I think they'll be better. And they've got some... But at times they looked like they were approaching a turn of at least a minor corner at times last year, and it just didn't happen. I think you've got to get the right guy. And, you know, they're a little bit of the shakeup with the staff. I mean, we'll see how it all goes. But a lot of young, hungry, talented wrestlers turned coaches in prominent roles there with Coach Dresser, and there's very little doubt in my mind that they'll get it done in getting the program back to you know, at least a good degree of prominence.
I hope so. I went to a couple of duels just at the end of last year and had a really good time, even though they kind of got their ass kicked, but I had a really good time, and you could just kind of feel that there was more behind the program. It was weird, like just the people in the arena, and so hopefully that carries forward.
Absolutely.
All right, Rob, looking forward to your piece. What are you writing about today?
Well, we're going to write about the, you know, Brock Purdy and kind of how Coach Campbell he's always stressing. I mean, any coach does, how you keep an even keel, but how do you keep an even keel when you're a true freshman?
Yeah, when you're 18.
That comes in and make that type of impression. Obviously, we can't talk to Brock, but can sort of throw in some comments from Campbell on what he saw in Purdy that would seem to translate to a guy that always keeps a level head. And asked some guy, Willie Harvey played at a young age. I asked him about
he did play
that kind
age.
Of stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
So we'll go that way and have a few more things down the road. I know a lot more pods coming. I've already had some pods with Jared and Jeff.
And then I interviewed Coach Campbell today, so listen to that one. We talked a lot about defense philosophy when it comes to defending a guy like Will Greer. So check that out if you're more
I might have to read that from my advance.
There you go. It's not bad. You know, when I get him behind closed doors like that, he tends to open up a little bit more than when there's cameras in his face and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's always a good one. It's one of my favorite times of the week to do that with Coach. So, thanks, Rob. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Chris.
We appreciate our friends at Heartland Flax for sponsoring the rundown here on the always-growing Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.